So we began discussing last week how the Torah is designed to help us find the right balance between utilizing while controlling all of our different elements of character, body functions, etc. And he started telling us, don't think that there are absolutes in these things. All of your natural instincts are things that are meant to be used just in the right way. And the key is, as we've been seeing, as we discussed last week, getting it in the right perspective, getting it right. So now, Klalei Sheldom continues and he says, the way it works is, the bottom line is, Ki Torosenu nechlekes bein hayira ve'ahava ve'asimcha. The truth is, the Torah itself, our whole approach to Hashem is about balance. Because we're supposed to approach Hashem from two approaches. We're supposed to approach Hashem with fear, relate to Hashem with fear, yira, and with love, and with joy. And mix those three together, a strange mix. But yet, you're supposed to use all three as approaches to Hashem, of ways of relating to Hashem, growing close to Hashem through these three mediums. And now he explains, and we'll see soon how you really get that balance right. But he says, "En kriyoscha b'me'atanis, yoyser kremer l'elikim." Realize that you might think that a fast day is a day of piety, whereas, say, a yom tov, sukkos, you're sitting at a table laden with goodies, and you're digging into a rich roast. You don't think of that as piety. He says, no, don't think that your behavior on the day of a fast day is more beloved by Hashem than you're rejoicing on the days of Shabbos, on Yom Tovim. But there's a clause here. When your simcha is being done with the right feelings wholeheartedly, meaning, certainly don't think that just digging in is piety. You certainly could reach a situation where the only pious day of your year is Yom Kippur, and Shabbos and Yom Tov are just about gluttony. But on the contrary, the simcha, the ahava, can be great forms of avodas Hashem, but it's more challenging in the sense that you need to work harder to get it there. Yom Kippur, it's easy to be spiritual. Right? I'm a bit disoriented. We'll do it this way. On Yom Kippur, it's easier to be spiritual because there's nothing physical going on. You're here in shul, you know that you have all day ahead of you. You might as well focus on your tefillos a little bit. You're fasting. You're not engaged in anything physical. It's a spiritual day. But the challenge is, like we said, you're sitting down to a nice hot roast. That can be avodas Hashem. Or it can be just your stomach. Just as our tefillahs, your prayers, need. You joining us? Kazari. Oh, I thought that you were joining. No, no pressure. Okay. You are invited but not pushed. Okay.
Thank you.
So, just as tefillahs require thought and intent, so too the simcha that we put into his mitzvahs and his Torah require intent and thought. Yes, simcha is a very important element of avodas Hashem. How does simcha manifest? You should be thrilled by doing the mitzvah. Because of your love and appreciation for the one who's giving the command. and appreciate, realize what a benefit it is that he's granting you this mitzvah. Meaning as follows. If we think that it's our job to suffer the yoke of Hashem's service through this life, then you get yischar in the next world. The suffering Jew, the profile of the suffering Jew. Shver tzayin ayid, right? The famous expression. Shver tzayin ayid. It's hard to be a Jew, but it pays off in the next world. You're not living as a good Jew. Meaning, you might be fulfilling the mitzvahs, but you're not. This is not the way you were meant to live. It's like the Dumna Magid said. You're like, Oisi Karosa Yaakov. The Pasuk says, you've been davening, but you haven't been davening to me. What does that mean? The Dumna Magid gives a famous mashal. He says, have a person, a rich man, comes from a trip, a train trip. As he's exiting the terminal, sees some poor man standing there, and the poor man is looking to earn a few coins. So he tells him, bring me my package home, I'll give you some money. Right? Where's the package? He tells him where the package is. The poor man goes off, porter goes off to find the package and bring it to the rich man's house. Rich man heads home in his coach. Okay. A little bit later, there's a knock on his door. There's the poor man huffing and puffing and sweating and everything, and he says, all right, like, put your package home and I'm ready to be paid. Look, I did the work, I did the job. Look how I'm sweating. Rich man says, I'm not paying you anything. He says, why? He says, you bought the wrong package. What do you mean I bought the wrong package? You didn't even see what I bought. How can you say I bought the wrong package? He says, well, I see that you're huffing and you're puffing and you're sweating. My package was an envelope. What'd you bring? If you slept something that made you huff and puff and sweat, you got the wrong package. So, the point is, Hashem says, if you're suffering as a Jew, you're on the wrong track. Something is off. Right? Judaism is supposed to be a happy experience. I'll say, according to this approach, if you're according to understanding that we're meant to suffer through this world, and happiness is just in the next world, how do you understand the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov? What is Hashem trying to trip you up by telling you to have a mitzvah, Einik Shabbos, enjoy yourself on Shabbos, enjoy yourself on Yom Tov? No. The joy, the pleasure, the enjoyment is all meant to be a part of the experience of Yiddishkeit. And the idea is as follows. When we're talking about a mitzvah, like Simchas Sachar, so you're supposed to rejoice through all the good food and all the good drink. But if you're just enjoying the good food and the good drink, again, you're also missing the point. The point is to appreciate that Hashem wants you to rejoice with Him. He wants you to rejoice with Him. And therefore, the reason that you have all this good food on the table right now is because Hashem wants you to enjoy. And not just to enjoy, but because He wants Kiviyochel to spend time with you in a pleasant way. That's what the Mayadim are about. You sit down at the table, that roast could mean a lot more if you're thinking that. If you're thinking, the way he says it now, you're sitting down at Hashem's table and enjoying all the treats He laid out for you. And Hashem Kiviyochel is here with you now and smiling, and He's having nachas from seeing you enjoy. You think that, it's a whole different experience. You're connecting to Hashem. Now the truth is that this is something that extends not just to the Mayadim, but beyond the Mayadim. This can be an avodah that you can put into all food. You're sitting down to eat something. Why does the food have a good taste? Right? Why does the food have a good taste? The answer is because Hashem wants you to enjoy. Someone might answer. Pious tzaddik might answer. No, you're not meant to enjoy l'masa at all. Why does food have a good taste? It's an isayin. It's an isayin. You see, if you are going to indulge, you're supposed to hold your nose and pack it down, and that's that. There's no question. We say a bracha, right? You say a bracha once a year. We have to know the nusach of the bracha. A nisan. You say the birkas ha'ilanis. What's the nusach of the birkas ha'ilanis? Asher bara ilanis tovos lehanos bahen b'nei adam. Hashem created all these good trees, right? All the fruit. Ever tried eating a fruit? Eating a taffy after a fruit? Taffy has no taste after a fruit. You eat an orange and then you eat a taffy. It has no taste. You want to enjoy a taffy, don't eat it after a fruit. Right? Same goes What's that? When you're eating something that's artificially sweet, right? Which your kids will tell you is much better than an apple. But if you eat it after an apple, it has no taste. Meaning, you don't, it loses the taste. It's not good. If you want to enjoy it, don't eat it with an apple. Don't eat it with an orange. Okay? So now, Hashem made these things because He wants you to enjoy. If you focus on that, when you're actually sitting down to eat, focus on the fact that Hashem is getting pleasure from the fact that I'm enjoying, your eating was avayda. Your eating is connecting you to Hashem. Your eating is an experience of avas Hashem. Eating can be a very, very great avayda. This is basically what he's saying here. When you're sitting down at the yomtiv table, don't just dig in. Don't just indulge the way you would indulge in any other time when you buy some takeout food. Right? Realize, Hashem wants to get together with me and He wants me to enjoy the experience. Enjoy Hashem. What's that? You're probably going to ask the same question, but let's see.
You often hear that all your tasks are meant to be the shame right here. All the shame of what's the shame. So even you're learning, even you're eating and you're this and that. If you're doing this, then you have strength and if you're sleeping. It's all about the shame. You know, a lot of nice words about seemingly out of place, brachas, when you don't fight. And it's like, oh, well, if you're sleeping, that's all about the shame. You never hear about the hana aspect of it.
You never hear about that hana aspect of it, and that's a problem. We should be hearing about it more.
So that's not contradictory.
It's not contradictory. It's bringing out another element of it. The most basic level is, I'm eating because I want to have strength to serve Hashem. That is one element. There are all kinds of ways you can imbue your daily activities with kedusha and turn them into avodah. It's very easy to kid yourself and to say that I'm eating pizza l'shem shemayim, right? But no, yes, there are all kinds of ways of imbuing your daily activities with kedusha. And this is a very, very fundamental way of doing it. Very important to realize that you're right, it's not stressed enough. It's not stressed enough. Those of us who grew up in Rabbi Avigdor Miller's shul heard it all the time. He said you should learn to enjoy a breath of fresh air. On the contrary, things that we, you know, are so used to we don't even enjoy them anymore, you can turn it into mitzvahs. By breathing in, one minute there's a good feeling there. Hashem wants you to enjoy, right? Because again, is there a mitzvah to eat? There's no mitzvah to eat, per se. Okay? It's a mitzvah to keep yourself healthy, etc. No mitzvah to eat, per se. Right? But there is a mitzvah of avas Hashem. Avas Hashem can be achieved through all kinds of means. Right? So, yes, do you realize that Hashem put the taste... Again, ask yourself the simple question. If the purpose, if the avodas Hashem of eating is, begins and ends with, so I should be healthy. You know those things called Ensure? The health drink. Sometimes people who can't eat too much, you drink one cup of it a day, that's all the nutrients you need. Why isn't that all of our eating? Take a couple of pills. Why did Hashem make such an array of things with all kinds of different tastes, etc.? With grace, with kindliness, and with mercy. Mercy is that He gave you the means to keep yourself alive. He provided intravenous, He provided insured drinks that you can pick up in the pharmacy, right? That's berachamim. But it's also bechesed and bechein, with kindliness and with grace. What's the chein? He makes it gishmak, right? So, what's the idea? All these phenomena are made by Hashem. Ethics understand them some way. Hashem wants you to enjoy. But again, he doesn't want you to turn into just a coarse physical person. If you just focus on enjoyment without any of that, then you're just a coarse physical person. A Puerto Rican. Or even a Jew who's just stuffing his face. He's not engaged in any kedusha. But you can turn it into kedusha through these means.
I was going to ask, I understand the Yom Tov meal is a mitzvah of eating a Yom Tov meal, but any meal, or any endeavor, or any activity you can imbue with holiness.
That's right. Any activity you can imbue with holiness.
Eating the breath of air, or eating the breakfast. Eating
That's right.
Taking off straw or whatever.
Absolutely.
Every action we take, we have an opportunity, like you said, to make millions.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. So you're asking, so what's the difference between the Yamim Tovim? The Yamim Tovim are a time of special closeness. The Yamim Tovim are a time where Hashem is telling you, now is the time when I want to get together with you. By the way, what does the word Moed mean? What's the structure of the word Moed? Moed really is translated as festival, designated time. But Moed is from the root of the word Va'ad. It's the Vav Ayin Da'ad. Lehi Va'ed. To get together. That's really the term. Moed was used to be the Aliyah of the Regal. Right? Everyone, it's a time of congregation. Lehi Va'ed. To congregate. Who are we getting together with? Moed is a time when Hashem says, I want to get together with you. It's a time of special closeness. It's more than your breakfast. Yes, your breakfast should be this too. But at the Moed, it's more than that. Hashem is saying, right now, I don't know what you do every day, but right now I'm commanding you. Right now I am prescribing. We must have a festive meal together. Hashem is inviting you to His table. You're invited to Hashem's table. And experience that at the Yom Tov table. And then, yes, it's a medium of Avas Hashem. A medium of Avas Hashem. So therefore, yes, realize that what's going on here is Hashem inviting you. And rejoice in that. Don't just rejoice in the food. The truth is that that's what the whole essence of Sukkot really is about. Sukkot is Zman Simchoseinu. Why is it Zman Simchoseinu? In the very simple level, look at the Pesukim. Because it's the time, it's Zman Ha'asif. It's the time that you're gathering all the crops into the storehouses. That's the time when you see yourself set up material. Right? So, Yom Tov, Sukkot, in a sense, you know what it is? It's the Yom Tov of Gashmias. Yom Tov when you rejoice over all the good Hashem gave you. Yom Tov of Gashmias. What does that mean? Really, what Sukkot is, it's a training session of how to relate to Gashmias. If we ask the question, is Gashmias a good thing or a bad thing? If you're a well-trained Jew, the answer is, of course, it's bad, right? But the truth is, no, it's not the true answer at all. Gashmias is like a knife. Is a knife a good thing or a bad thing? Depends if you're using it to stab somebody, if you're using it for heart surgery, right? It could be a great thing, it could be a terrible thing. Yom Tov of Sukkot is a course. It's a crash course on Gashmias. How do you relate to Gashmias? What Hashem is saying is as follows. This, really, for the farmer, this is the happiest time of the year. This is the time of the year when you're gathering in the crops, you see your financial and material security, and you're excited. What does Hashem say? We make a Yom Tov then. Rejoice in Hashem. Meaning, look at all the plenty you got. Realize that this is coming to you for Hashem. And rejoice over that. Rejoice over that. Rejoice with Hashem who's giving you all these things. This is the approach to Gashmias. And on the contrary, Rabbi Gamliel always used to say that we know, right, it's a famous concept that people grow through suffering. Right? Famous concept. You hear it all the time. Rachmana Litzlan. You shouldn't know. But people grow through suffering. Suffering makes people aware. They cry out to Hashem. They invest a lot of koichas in tefillah, etc. People grow. So does that mean that if we even say more than that? Yisurim, suffering, misfortune, is a sign of closeness. It's a sign of Hashem's favor. Because basically what Hashem is telling a person, when he chas v'shalom puts him through such a thing, he's saying, Hashem is saying, I value my relationship with you. And therefore, I want to draw you close to me. You were just sailing through life on autopilot, but I value you too much to allow that to continue. And therefore, I'm bringing Yisurim upon this person in order to wake him up. And people often come out of misfortunes feeling like it was worth the experience. At the end of the day, my life now has so much more meaning. I feel so much more of a connection to Hashem. My relationship with Hashem turned so much more real, right? What happens if you are the unfortunate fellow who was never hit with Yisurim? Oh boy, does that mean that Hashem doesn't care about me? But Victor Miller always used to say, fortunate is the person who learns to cry out to Hashem in happiness. You don't have to come on to the point where Hashem needs to bring Yisurim in order to wake you up. If you have the seichel, if you have the understanding and the initiative to cry out to Hashem in happiness, you say, wake up in the morning, everything is good. Everything is normal. And you cry out to Hashem and you say, Hashem, thank you. I don't have any of these Yisurim. Right? A person can make a career out of doing that. Might be saving himself the need to bring these Yisurim on him, and he can learn to connect to Hashem through that too. Just the difference in that is that it's more challenging because it has to be self-motivated. It has to be self-motivated. And that's why also Rabbi Gamliel used to say, appreciate boring life. Think of all those Yisurim that could have been and that aren't. There are people complaining about just every day the same thing. Say, you're looking for excitement. An ambulance outside your house is exciting. I look at people who have very not boring lives. They're busy rushing back and forth to the hospital, Rachmana Litzlan. They have a child there who they have to be caring for all the time. It's not a boring life at all. Right? They're busy and they're concerned and there are meetings and this and that. All kinds of excitement. A boring life, that means you were spared this and you were spared that. Cry out to Hashem and thank Him. Thank Him. You can learn to live your life in joy. So, but let's get back to Yom Tov, right? He's talking about Yom Tov, to appreciate that you're being invited to eat on Hashem's table. Hashem wants to see you enjoy. But he says another point. Realize the significance of what it is. Rejoice in the very fact that you've been commanded to do this by Hashem. I mean, don't just rejoice in the good food. We talk about rejoicing in the good food with the realization that Hashem wants to see you enjoy. But also rejoice in the very fact that Hashem deemed you important enough to command you b'chlal. And here we're getting on to another profound point. The truth is you can reach a situation where you find any mitzvah thrilling. With a little bit of mental exercise. How's that? The word mitzvah is from the root of the word is tzav. Tzav is command. Simple level. Right? But there's, in Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, more correctly, there's no coincidence. Any connection between words has depth. Therefore, tzav is related to the word tzevet. Tzevet means association, company, a team will be called a tzevet. When you associate with somebody, you have a tzevet with them. Whenever A commands B, what he's saying in essence is, I need a connection with you. I desire a connection with you. Does that always mean something beautiful? No. If I command my Filipino to wash the floor, I'm also saying I need to associate with you. Not because I have any personal interest in you, because I want a clean floor. Therefore, I need to associate with you. When Hashem commands you to do things, He needs these things to be done. It doesn't need anything to be done. Why is He commanding you to do them? The command is simply an expression of Hashem's interest in associating with you. That's what the command is. Hashem wants you to do it. It's not that Hashem wants you to do this. Hashem wants you to do this. You have to put the emphasis on you. He's interested in you interacting with Him. Now when you appreciate a little bit who Hashem is, Hashem is the control of the entire universe. And you think a little bit about how insignificant you are in the grand scheme of things. Right? You are, in your own mind, your whole consciousness is full of you. Right? All of your life revolves around you, doesn't it? A little bit of the bigger picture. In your shul, how significant are you? You're one of 100. In your neighborhood, how significant are you? You're one in 50,000. Right? The country, the continent, and the big world. You're nothing. This is blasphemous, but I want to get the point across, okay? Such a tiny sliver of existence. Right? But yet, Hashem zeroed in on you and says, no, I want to connect with you. I want a relationship with you. That itself should fill you with excitement and exuberance. You say a mitzvah, you're putting on tefillin in the morning. I wrote, you roll out of bed and you roll the tefillin around your arm. Hashem right now is issuing you a command. I want to see you put on tefillin for me. The master of the universe, he's running, he has billions of malachim at his disposal, but he's more interested in you putting on that tefillin for him. And think about it. I'm Kaviyochel giving Hashem nachas right now. Hashem is smiling with pleasure as I'm putting those tefillin on for him because I'm doing it for him. Think about that. So it turns the tefillin into a meaningful existence. So you can imbue anything you're doing with this. Exactly. He doesn't need us to do anything to him. Why is he issuing all these commands? Just because he wants the relationship. He wants to associate with you, and he's interested in you associating with him. You have to think about that. Can anybody just come and associate with Hashem? No. Goy she Shabbos chayev misa. The guy decides he's going to keep Shabbos too. He wants to be a part of it. Chayev misa. You can't just decide, come over to the king, put your arm around him and says, listen king, I decided to grant you the privilege of my friendship. But Hashem decided to draw you close. Right? So, that itself is something to appreciate. V'toidel zeh b'matzpunu b'galui. You should express that. Appreciate what that means. Don't just say, oh, the burdens, you have to be a suffering Jew in this world. You know what it means? The privilege that Hashem is interested in your mitzvahs? And not only that, what kind of mitzvahs does He give you? He wants to see you enjoy a good Yom Tov meal. He also wants you to fast on Yom Kippur because He wants you to relate with him with the right reverence. If you just think Hashem is, you know, someone nice who I'm deigning to accept His offer of a relationship, No. Hashem wants you to go through a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to realize that Hashem is the one who's busy decreeing earthquakes on the world and tsunamis, and who controls all of life, and who controls the entire universe. And that very Hashem, at the same time, wants that personal relationship with you. You have to appreciate that, and thank Hashem for choosing you. Thank Hashem for being interested in you. Thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity to connect with Him eternally, forever. Now, when a person thinks about this, he should become filled with enthusiasm. Again, this requires focusing. It's mental exercise. Focusing on how little you are and how uncanny it is, naturally, that the master of the universe should be interested exactly in a relationship with you. So you think about that. Now listen, he's before the time of the Chassidim, but listen to what he says. And if this causes you to burst out in song and dance, that's connecting you even more strongly to Hashem. So again, we ask, is song and dance a mitzvah? So, in and of itself, no. Torah doesn't say anyway to sing or dance. Torah does tell you to eat on Yom Tov. It's more of a mitzvah than singing and dancing. And we tend to relate to singing and dancing as some form of spirituality. Essentially, it isn't. When is it? We said before. If the singing and dancing is an expression of your excitement with the fact that Hashem chose you, is interested in you, that turns into Avas Hashem. So again, it's not the singing and dancing that's the mitzvah, but it's the Avas Hashem that's expressed in it. That's the mitzvah. So think about this. You're lighting your candles. One more night, right? One more night. You're lighting the candles. And think about this fact that through those candles, Hashem is expressing that I cherish your avodah. What happened? The Greeks wanted to stop us from Torah mitzvahs. What that means? They wanted to sever our relationship with Hashem. But Hashem showed that would never happen. Well, let's understand what the depth of it is. Maral brings us out. Hashem is saying, I won't let them rob me of it because it means so much to me. I cherish the avodah of the Jew. Think about that for a minute while you're lighting those candles. This is Hashem expressing that I will never let a situation develop where you won't be able to connect to me because I cherish that connection. This is just being expressed when you're lighting those candles. And afterwards, yeah, overcome your natural inhibition and let yourself dance at Moshe's Torah afterwards. Just express that excitement. Be a little, naive, innocent. Don't be what? Exactly. Don't be inhibited. Don't feel funny. My wife will look at me funny. My kids will think I went a little. No. Get them involved too. But let it out a little bit. It's a very. It's a good feeling to release these things sometimes because you feel that you're really entering into a realm that you haven't been at before. It's worth reading the Lashon of the Rambam.
We do that. We dance.
What's that?
We dance.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
kids are wondering. They asked me, did your father do that? No. Are you doing
that? The answer is, a minig means a custom. This is not a custom. This is simply expressing what we do. If I sit at the table and I say, ah, geschmack, that's not a minig. Or you eat a piece of meat and you say, oh, that's good. Is that a minig? If it becomes a minig, your wife is not going to take your compliment seriously anymore. It's not a minig. It's an expression of our excitement. I try to feel it. Right? The Rambam says, give me a second, I'm going to run and get it because I'm bleeding out the lashon. This is a very important message for the suffering Jew. This is the Rambam all the way at the end of Hilchos Lulav. Sukkos. Again, Sukkos, like we said before, you asked, why are we saying that it's a mitzvah on Sukkos if we're saying now that it's a mitzvah in general? But the way, as we explained, Sukkos is really meant to give us the perspective on how you approach these things. So he says as follows. He's giving the descriptions of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So now he says, he gives this whole big description of how it works and how exciting it was, etc. And he concludes as follows. This is how he concludes the halachas of Sukkos. HaSimcha, again, he extrapolates it and turns it into a general principle. HaSimcha, sheyismach odom ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah. The simcha that a person feels when he's doing a mitzvah, because of the love that he feels for the Hashem who commanded it. Again, he's thrilled by the fact that Hashem wants me to do something for him, right? So the simcha that a person feels when he's doing a mitzvah, avoida g'doylohi, is a great service, great avoida. The ka'amoneya atzmo mi simcha zu, a person who does not have this simcha, royally paramimeno, should be punished. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, tachas ashele avato es Hashem alekechol besimcha v'tuv levo. This is a very scary insight that the Rambam has in the sukkim in Kisavoy that describe the teichachas, all the punishments that will come upon the Jewish people if they slack. Right? It says this will come since you did not serve Hashem. The simcha v'tuv levo meroiv koil. Happiness in happiness and in happiness and in rejoicing.
Excitement.
Yeah, and excitement. So the Rambam says it's a punishment for not serving Hashem happily. Now what does that mean? Doing the mitzvahs. But you're doing it with that feeling of after suffering through these things in this world, in the next world, you get paid back. Now we do for Hashem, we sacrifice for Hashem. The krechzuch through life, they get paid back in the next world. Right? The person should be punished for that. Now why? Does it say anywhere in the Torah you have to be happy? How can you be punished for something that you're not commanded to? What does it say in the Torah you have to be happy that you can be punished for taking the test for not doing it? It says on Sukkos. What? The source of that is a song, not a pasuk in the Torah. Right? But the truth is, there's something to that. But what's the mitzvah? Which mitzvah? What does it say in the Torah? It says on Sukkos that you have to be happy. So 8 days a year, that's all. I force myself to be happy then. Walk around like that. After 8 hours days, I can go back to being a morose, pious Jew. So what's the pshat? The answer is, this is what the Mefarshim explained, that there's no mitzvah to be happy. But a person who's going through life unhappily means that there are a lot of other fundamental mitzvahs that you are not fulfilling properly. There's no love of Hashem. When a person loves Hashem, a person who loves Hashem can't be sad. Now, this doesn't mean that your whole life, you know, you might have your sad moments, but in general, Yiddishkeit is a happy experience. Right? And also, more than that, you're lacking in your emunah. Emunah is not just believing that there is Hashem. And what it means knowing who Hashem is. When you appreciate quite who Hashem is and quite what it means that He's interested in you, which are elements of basic elements of Torah, then that should result in happiness. If a person's whole life is just morose, melancholy Jew, he's missing in some of the most fundamental areas. Now he continues and says something interesting. So again, he's coming after the Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Simchas Beis Hashoeva, they just used to let loose. The dancing there was just, they would go wild with excitement. Now, if you see a bunch of kids doing that, or the good dancers, you know what I mean? Could be completely empty, right? There's good music and they dance. Is there anything in it? But no, who did you see going wild with excitement? Refer back to the previous halacha. Who are the ones dancing there? Most of the crowd came as spectators to watch the excitement. But down on the floor, the dancers were generating such an atmosphere that it says people came away from there inspired and enthused and on fire. Who were the dancers? So I'm backing up just to get the perspective. The ignorant, and not just anybody who wanted was able to do this. It was the greatest of the Chachmei Yisrael, the Rosh HaYeshivas, the Sanhedrin, the Chassidim, the pious, the Zkenim, the elders, the Anshei Meisim, the great Tzaddikim. Hein Shayu Meraktim, they were the ones dancing, Omesapkin, and clapping, Omenagnim, and making music, Omesamchin, and rejoicing, the Mikdash Vimei Chag HaSukkos. In the Mikdash during Sukkos, everybody else came to watch and hear. And those who came to watch and hear came away enthused and inspired and on fire. Which means that the people at the bottom were just going nuts. This was the one time of year that you were just meant to let out all your feelings about Yiddishkeit, about Hashem, etc. And that manifests with these great people as just wild with enthusiasm. Now what happens if a person feels inhibited? A person feels, it's below my dignity. You can't bring yourself to just go wild with enthusiasm? Yeah, we're not talking about all year round. Other times you should conduct yourself more. But you don't have it in you at all? There's nothing in there that bears just bursting out with enthusiasm? A person who feels too haughty, or too self-respecting, to dignify in such circumstances is a chayte v'shayte, he says. He's a sinner and he's a nut.
A sinner and a nut.
And a nut. V'alzeh hizu Shlomo v'omar al tishadu b'lifnei melech. And this is where Shlomo admonished and said, don't act too respectably in the presence of a king. Meaning, you have to departmentalize. Most throughout the year, maybe you should conduct yourself with more awe and dignity, and sometimes, but there is that department in you that's just full of enthusiasm about Hashem, and that also has to be a given expression. At least this once a year, which is the time for that. This is the time to show all your feelings for Hashem. You can't? What kind of Jew are you? The kalamashpil atzmi, the person who does lower himself, umekel gufa, and just degrades himself, so to speak, b'mkaymais elu, in such circumstances, who are gadol hamechuba the oivid me'ava. He is the great and dignified. That's the greatest dignity, a person who is serving Hashem with love.
Why is that called mashpil?
What's that?
Why is it called mashpil?
Meaning, you see, you say a chasheva, respectable looking Rosh Hashiva. Right? Think of the most dignified gadol you know. Right?
He's there juggling seven.
Yeah, he's bouncing up and down, and maybe he doesn't even have a good sense of rhythm. So he's like just, you know, the ones that you mentioned, the juggling. But they're also just people just jumping up and down in wild with enthusiasm. Right? Yeah, like you said, the juggling. Right? You see, the head of the Sanhedrin. Usually you didn't see him in such a state. It was presiding on the dais of the Sanhedrin. It was a very solemn atmosphere. Now he's down there at the bottom juggling torches, juggling glasses of wine. Right? That's, you might say, that's a putdown. No, these people were showing. Right? That is dignity. Showing our true love for Hashem. Who's the example of this? By the way, it says about the Groh. The Groh was known. The Groh was a very serious person. Not a person who laughed often. He would dance and jump with all his strength. The guy was bouncing up and down. It was a sight you would never expect to see. Bouncing up and down. The guy, the only guy. On Simchas Torah, yeah. So, about David HaMelech. David said, what happened, right? It's a famous incident with David. When they were bringing the Aron back to the Mishkan, to put it in the Mishkan, so the people were dancing and singing, they were rejoicing, and David was right there at the head of the crowd. The king usually would sit above on a dais watching the festivities. David wasn't up on a dais. He was down there right in the midst of the crowd, bouncing and jumping with his, you know, royal robes flying all over the place. Right? Now, Michal, his wife, he wasn't naturally from a royal home. We know that. He grew up in the fields with the sheep. She grew up in the palace. She knew the dignity of her father's home. She knew a Shaul HaMelech. Kings never acted that way. You know what a monarch is? There was no such thing. The king was always the epitome of dignity, to an extent of an awesome aura was always around him, right? When she saw David doing this, she just couldn't handle it. When he came back home, you know, came back, you know, with his crown askew and his, you know, his clothing all rumpled and he's sweating and he's, you know, breathing heavily. That's her king, right? That's the great king. So she said, "Manich Badayan," she said it sarcastically, "Wow, how respectable you looked to all the maidservants who you were dancing here, right? Everyone, you're right down there in the crowd with the lowest people, with his arms around, there's a beggar on this side of him and somebody else on that side, and he's got his arms around him and he's bouncing and he's dancing." She said, "Wow, what a respectable day." So David responded, and he said, "Unkalisi oid mizos." So first of all, he responded sharply, and he told her, "Perhaps what you just saw now is the reason that Hashem chose me over your father's house." And then he said, "Unkalisi oid mizos." He said, "I would put myself down even more. But you see, shuffle be'inoi, because I am low in my own eyes." And then he concluded, and he said, the Rambam goes and bring the whole pasuk, "And this is what grants, this is what earns me the reverence of the people." He said, "Ve'en agdula va'akoven." The Rambam concludes, and he says, "What is true prestige and honor? Elo lismayach mitnei Hashem. That showing how you rejoice before Hashem. Because what are you showing? Even more honor than everything I am. Look who I'm connected with. Look who I'm connected with." Shenema va'melech David mefazes u'mechalke lifnei Hashem. Like it says, Melech David was bouncing and dancing before Hashem. Okay, this is really just a little bit of a detour, but these are fundamental points.